Children's Church, so it'll be a coloring book thing today. Bless her heart. Amen. We'll try to have too many here. Two, three, four for Children's Church. So no Children's Church today. Coloring pages for those that want to color. For the rest of you, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. For those of you wanting to know what's going on with Brother Ronnie, just got the text that they're taking him as we speak for a CAT scan. So they'll be doing a CAT scan on him. So we'll continue to try to keep you updated. Ronnie Vaculik left here during Sunday school to Methodist Hospital to the ER with some confusion and just not feeling himself. So you be in prayer for Brother Ronnie. He's in good hands down there at Methodist, and God's prayer is powerful. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. And we'll just take it these first three verses. We'll cover the rest of this next time we get into it. But we're really talking about just something real specific here in the first part of 1 Kings chapter 19. Have you found it? Amen. Amen. Have you found it this morning? Say glory, hallelujah. The Word of God reads this in 1 Kings chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." She's talking about the prophets that he had killed. And he was afraid, and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the reading of your word, Lord, and we pray that you would open our hearts, that you would illumine our minds to it this morning. And Father God, as we prayed earlier, that we would be made more into the image of Jesus, that the word would wash us today, would clean us, Lord, would challenge us, convict us, would hold us to a standard today, God. And Lord, I pray that you would set us on a right path as we leave here today, a right path to live for you, a right path to be a witness for you, a right path to get over some of the things we're struggling with, a right path to leave these things at the altar this morning. And Lord, if there's anyone here struggling today, Lord, I pray that they meet with you. Anyone here lost today, Father God, we pray they receive Christ. Thank you for loving us and thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Now, we have a baptism after the service. We're blessed by that. We're going to end the service with baptism. So when we have the invitation, kind of hang around. You'll be some things. You'll see some things moved around up here. The pulpit will be moved out of the way, and we're going to get to baptize Grace today. So Grace is here, and her family's here. Grace, raise your hand. Amen. All right. Give her a round of applause, right? She nailed that salvation thing down. What was it, last Sunday night? 317, right? 317, right? 317. Don't forget that, Grace. 317. That's your birthday, girl. That's your spiritual birthday. All right. 1 Kings chapter 19. Remember 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, as we were preaching on Elijah, we said that we didn't know for certain, past our speculations, what Elijah expected. What Elijah expected or thought when he was dispatched by God to the royal city of Jezreel. We really didn't know what he was thinking, where Ahab and Jezebel resided. But we made the assumption. Elijah anticipated a dramatically different result than what occurred. I mean, think about what happened on Mount Carmel with me for just a little bit as God was making himself known once again to his people. God's display on Mount Carmel was huge, to say the least. I mean, it was an incredible display. What God did on the mountain was awesome for Elijah. Would you agree? It was awesome for Elijah. It was a blessing to the people. It was troubling to Ahab and Jezebel. And it's for us, thousands of years later, what happened on Mount Carmel via the inerrant Word of God reading it reminds us once again of God's great power. But as we study the Old Testament and as we look through the New Testament, as we think about the events of even today, rarely had back then or rarely have people received such vivid proof of God's might as they had on Mount Carmel. The fire falling from the sky like liquid, blasting that altar and everything on the altar and everything around the altar and even the altar itself was consumed in that hollow challenge. Remember that challenge? Who is God? Is it God or is it the God of Baal? We all know who the real God is. Amen? We said now that God had acted back then 2 weeks ago. We said God had acted. God had responded. All the players affected by the Mount Carmel summit responded to God as well. And the big point 2 weeks ago was how people react to us. How people react to us affects us more than we know. How people react to us. And we said that there were three primary reactions that affected Elijah in his ministry. We talked about how the people got their water back. The drought was over. The rains came. The drought buster fell. And so the people went back to their lives as usual. We talked about how Elijah's enemies did not change. They didn't change much. They didn't change one iota as Elijah might have hoped for or expected. And then we talked about God. How God once again was silent. Remember, God's been silent before in Elijah's life. God was silent when Elijah was in the wilderness. God was silent when Elijah was in the widow's home. God was silent when Elijah prayed the first six times for rain. And now, once God has dispatched his prophet to Jezreel, God is silent again. So while God remains silent in Jezreel, another voice captured Elijah's attention. This voice was the voice of darkness. This voice was the voice that would drive him to the brink of ruin as a prophet, as a man, as a human being. What we're talking about today, if the big point last 2 weeks ago was how people react to us affects us more than we know, what we're talking about today, then, the big point is spiritual retaliation. Spiritual retaliation. You can take this to the bank. You can draw interest on it if they'll let you. Regardless of the magnitude of God's accomplishment, the powers of darkness will inevitably offer a rebuttal, a counterattack every time. For Elijah, retaliation came quickly and decisively. While Elijah waited in Jezreel for God's next word of instruction, Queen Jezebel sends this devastating message. And you know what I'm telling you is the truth. You have a mountaintop experience in your own life? Watch out. There's going to be something coming down in the valley, right? Yeah. Watch out. Watch out. I mean, we get really, really high for God, and then, man, if we're not careful, we get really, really what? Low for God. Yeah. There would be no discussion, no discussion or compromise for Ahab and Jezebel. God sends his prophet to the royal city at that time, Jezreel. No meeting. Nothing but a threat. And this threat, this message in verse 2, it unhinged Elijah. For the first time, we witness Elijah behaving in an uncharacteristically fearful and defeated manner. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Jezebel's response struck his Achilles heel. Bullseye. So how did Elijah respond, Pastor? Well, he took matters into his own hands. You ever do that? Yeah. Truth be told, we often do the same. We often do the same thing. When the going gets tough, we wrestle our lives out of God's hands and we attempt to do things our way. And in the process, we forget some very important things. Listen to these things we forget. We forget our Christian principles, don't we? Yeah, we sure do. When we take our lives out of God's hands, we tend to forget our spiritual backbone, right? We quit standing for righteousness like we should. Oh, here's some things we often forget when we take our lives out of God's hands and we're going to do it our way, God. And man, you know, you can't help. This is too big. Yeah, right. God can, He can handle anything, but we don't think that because we're afraid. We're fearful. So we end up forgetting grace, and we end up forgetting God's love, and we end up forgetting peace, and we end up forgetting joy, and we end up forgetting contentment. We end up forgetting Jesus. Man. Well, Elijah forgot. And in a panic, Elijah fled into the wilderness because of what? Because of a few words. Because of a few words. Let me give you an application here. There is an incredible lesson in this passage over the power of one's words. Would you agree? Words. A word from God sent Elijah to a mountaintop, while a word from Jezebel sent him fleeing into the desert. When Elijah based his life on God's word, there was serenity and peace about his life, even when he faced difficult circumstances. But now his actions are being driven by the voices of people, and not just any people, but his worst enemy. Let me give you another point of application here. When you allow your enemy, rather than God, to set the agenda for your life, you're in a perilous position. You're on dangerous ground when you do that. Stop doing that. Amen? Well, the question is this morning, it used to be the $30,000 question, but with inflation and things have gone up, it's now the $90,000 question. So what caused Elijah to abandon the field of battle? What was it that just stirred him up and ran him off? What made him want to quit? What caused Elijah to flee? I attempt to answer that question with another question. How could a miracle-working prophet such as he be so thoroughly disarmed? I answer those questions with another question. Elijah's ministry was characterized by what? If we study the passages that surround him, his ministry was characterized by fire. Did you know that? He's a prophet. He's known as the prophet of fire. Later, after this incident with Jezebel and Ahab and all this business, there's another king who will twice dispatch 50 soldiers to capture Elijah. And the prophet will rain down fire on their heads two times. Now, let me read the passage to you. It's in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, I'm sorry. The Word of God reads this in 2 Kings 1, 9 through 12. Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on the top of the hill. And he said to him, O man of God, the king says, come down. Elijah replied to the captain of 50, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he said to him, O man of God, thus says the king, come down quickly. Elijah replied to him, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Fire on Mount Carmel. Fire here. Elijah could have done the same to Jezebel's assassins that had certainly been dispatched to apprehend him. But Elijah has been unnerved. He's been unhinged. He's come undone. So back to the original question. What caused Elijah to abandon the field of battle? It's a simple, simple answer. Elijah encountered someone as fervent for evil as he was for righteousness. That's why. That's why. Elijah was about truth, while Jezebel was about lies. She's nothing but a liar. She's told him at least two lies. She's told at least two lies to Elijah thus far. What are the lies she told him? Well, she vowed that Elijah would be dead within a 24-hour period. Lie. And then she said, she claimed that if he wasn't dead, well, she might as well be dead. She ain't dead either, is she? She's going to die, but not yet. Yet her lies dismantled him, unhinged him, undid him. When the enemy's coming against us, sometimes the enemy really is active, and the attacks are almost physical in nature. But friend, being defeated by an opponent's threats and lies, that's another matter altogether. Don't do that. You can't listen to that stuff. Amen? You can't listen to it. You can't tune into it. You can't even think about it for a moment. You've got to discard it. Throw it down. Amen? You've got to throw it down. Spiritual retaliation, verse 2. The balance of this message is simply this. It is the takeaway in regards to spiritual retaliation. Perhaps maybe some more application if you could write it that way. Number one, the takeaway in regards to this spiritual retaliation. Elijah discovered, and we should take note, that evil never grows weary. Evil never sleeps. Evil never loses heart. Until the second coming of Christ, which is still yet future, evil will have a powerful influence in and over this world. If you don't believe that, you're living under a rock today. Evil is out there to get you. Evil is out there to bring down the church. Attempt to try. Do not think that one spiritual victory in your life or seven spiritual victories in your life will eradicate evil from your sphere of existence. It's still going to be there. No matter how decisively good overcomes evil, the following day finds evil back at its devilish tricks. And if we don't come to grips with this, let me tell you what happens to us. Over time, this reality can demoralize even the most stout-hearted servant of God. We begin to think, man, aren't I going to get enough seniority in on this deal that I don't have to deal with this? And the point is, no, you don't. You won't. You're going to be struggling with evil until you see Jesus face to face. But praise God, you're just passing through. You're going to see him one day. Amen? You are going to see him one day. In the context of this passage, Elijah had just experienced the greatest spiritual triumph of his life. Yet one word from his enemy propelled him into a headlong retreat. Think about it. How quickly we can descend from the heights to the depths, how rapidly our victory can morph, can transform into defeat. Elijah discovered, and we should take note, that evil never grows weary, never sleeps, never loses heart. Secondly, the takeaway in regards to spiritual retaliation. Elijah discovered, and we should take note, that we all have our weaknesses. Every single saved individual in here has a weakness or weaknesses. Do you agree with that? Certain types of people at particular times under specific circumstances can find us most vulnerable. Most vulnerable. On a different day, in a different week, in a different month, Elijah might have chuckled at Jezebel's threat and brushed it off as a threat from a crazy, demonized woman. Right? There goes Jezebel. That's where that all got started. From the mouth of Jezebel. Come on, bring it on, girl. Right? I mean, when we think of the law of God, when we think of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, right? We think of Moses, right? We think of Charlton Heston standing on the bank, you know, with a staff. Let my people, you know, in front of Pharaoh, let my people go. And then on the bank and the Red Sea parting. I mean, we think of Moses, right? We're coming down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. We think of Moses, right? Or Charlton Heston playing Moses. But anyway, we think of Moses. Amen? Some of the kids are going, Charlton, who? Yeah, I know, but that's what we think of. But when we think of the prophets, we think of Elijah. For he is the greatest prophet in the Bible. He's just prayed fire down from heaven before the whole nation of Israel watching on, looking on. He has just altered weather patterns as a result of his prayers. Yet remarkably, in a moment of weakness, this prophet of fire turned and ran for his life into the desert, resigning from every office as he went. Elijah discovered, and we should take note, that we all have our weaknesses. The takeaway in regards to spiritual retaliation, Elijah discovered, and we should take note, that we must diligently guard our heart. Why? Why would we guard our heart? Because our heart, it is a fickle thing, isn't it? Our heart is a fickle ally. I mean, one minute our heart is with us, one minute our heart is for us, and the next minute our heart is against us, isn't it? Yeah. At one moment, our heart is a fierce warrior. Our heart says, let's go, we got this. We can do this in the name of God. Amen? And then the next moment, the next instant, the heart grows weary. The heart grows weak. The heart abandons us, opening the gate to the enemy. The takeaway in regards to spiritual retaliation, Elijah discovered, and we should take note, listen to this, you really got to listen here. We cannot go for God. We cannot minister for God. We cannot serve the Lord. We can't be the Christian He desires us to be with yesterday's walk. You can't do it on yesterday's walk, friend. You cannot be who God wants you to be with yesterday's walk with God. You have got to be walking with God today. You say, Pastor, I am. I'm in church. You've got to be walking with God on Monday. Oh, okay. You got to be walking with God on Tuesday. Wednesday, you got to still be walking with Him. Amen? And Thursday, and then here comes Friday. Oh, thank the Lord, it's Friday. You still got to be walking with Him on Friday. And there's that Saturday. See, a lot of us want to get all this benefit from a spiritual relationship with one walk out of seven attempts. Oh, we got to walk with Him every day. Amen? We got to walk with our relationship with God must remain fresh, friend. That's the point. Our relationship requires daily renewal by God's word, daily renewal by our prayer life, daily renewal with the sensitivity to the person of the Holy Spirit wanting to move inside of us. Our walk with God, the Father, it will grow stale if unattended. You saying, yeah, I'm saying it'll grow stale. Like about a three-day-old donut, amen? And these donuts are good, I'm telling you, on Sunday morning, before Sunday school. Whoo! Somebody brings some fresh donuts. I don't know who it is. I just thank the Lord they're there. It's kind of like manna. It just kind of shows up. Amen. I grab one of them things. Oh, sometimes it's warm. So flaky. Oh, but haven't you brought donuts home before and couldn't eat them all? You know, I'll save those for tomorrow's breakfast. Okay. Day-old donuts, not too bad. Well, you know, there's still a few left. I'll try to get another breakfast out of that. Whoo, two-day-old donuts. Maybe if I dunk it in the coffee. Three-day-old donuts, you better throw that thing out, man. Right? Well, your relationship with the Lord is just like that. That thing's got to be fresh. Steaming hot, man. Flaky. Sweet. That's what your relationship with God's got to be like, amen? You cannot assume or expect that our bold faith of yesterday undergirds our service today. And I've met so many people through the ministry that's what they assume. They think because they did this for God or they did that for God or way back here for God. Oh, no. What's going on with God now? Right now. Today. What's going on in your life with God today? Where are you at in the Word of God today? Who are you telling about Jesus today? What is your prayer life today? Amen? When our walk with God is neglected, our neglected walk soon weakens us. Having witnessed Elijah boldly taunting 850 false prophets on Mount Carmel, we are stunned to see how quickly his faith and his courage dissipates, but do not be so quick to cast stones at the vacillating prophet because we share the same nature, don't we? Yeah. So if you have grown weary in well-doing, if you've grown weary in well-doing, listen to Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, Galatians 6:9, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Galatians 6:9. We don't have to grow weary. Do you know that? We can tap into the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit for victorious Christian living. The Holy Spirit wants you to be living victoriously. Amen. We can tap into that power to live for Christ, to have that power to power on through. So if you've grown weary in well-doing, resist the devil. Resist him. James chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8, James 4, 7 and 8. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Oh, Pastor, what about the armor? What about pray on the armor of God? Amen? Put on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. How do we do that? How is the armor? We pray it on. Amen? You pray the armor of God on. All three of these things that I've shared with you, don't grow weary, resist the devil, pray on the full armor of God, all of these things suggest a fresh day-by-day what? Relationship, intimacy, talking with God, working through it. Amen? You can't do it one day a week. You can't do it 2 days a week. 7 days a week. 7 days a week. As I close, when we keep our relationship fresh with God, we discover more of the depth and the breadth of God's love, which in turn strengthens us for the attacks of the devil and his demonic against our lives. Because, friend, the attack is going on. It's going on every day. Every day the attack is coming. I can only think as we closing it out today, I can only think that perhaps there is still someone here this morning who's still living in defeat. You don't have to be. Positionally, they are as saved as they have always been saved, but because of some lie or lies told against or about them, they are experiencing weariness. They are experiencing depression. They are experiencing pain. They are experiencing difficulty. Perhaps the lie or the lies was spoken by a parent years ago, or by that spouse from a previous marriage, or by that child that lashed out at you with ingratitude. Perhaps that lie was spoken by a boss or coworker that has drug you through the proverbial mud. I mean, you thought you were doing the right thing. You were attempting to live victorious, righteous, Christ-like, and you were just blindsided. You were just ambushed. You were just knocked off your feet by the lies, by the untruth. And the consequences of the lie or lies is that your relationship with God is not as fresh as it should be. Oh, when the lies came against you, when the untruth was spoken about you, instead of drawing closer to God for help, friend, you've ran, so to speak, in your own strength, and you've taken matters into your own hands. See, the point of all this is to come on back. The point of this is to rely on God. The point of all this is to pray to Jesus. The point of all of this is to seek a fresh infilling of the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to close this morning with a reminder that God knows where His prophet was the whole time. He sent him there. Jezreel, that's where He told him to go. God knew where His prophet was, and God knows where you are. Never taking His eye off of you. God knows where you've been. God knows what you're dealing with. He knows the lies that echo in your mind. He knows the untruth that you're struggling with. He knows the things that keep you up at night. And they're not theological doctrines. He knows what it is. Know this, that there is a kind of love that God only knows. Amen? We close with a little video here, and I'll come back and tie it up for you.
Show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. And every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows. There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love. You keep a cover over every single secret, so afraid if someone saw them they would leave. But somebody, somebody, somebody sees you. Somebody, somebody will never leave you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love. Misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over. Oh, for the lonely, for the ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over. Kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
Amen. God really does know. Amen. And there is a love that He can only give us. Right? And so, friend, if you're struggling, these altars are open for a new beginning for you. And perhaps you were the one that spoke the lies. Perhaps you're the one that put the dagger in somebody's back or heart. There's forgiveness for you. Amen? There's forgiveness for everybody. Mercy and grace abounds. Amen? And Jesus, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in a few moments we're going to have a word of prayer. We're all going to stand. Brother Jeremiah is going to come and lead us in a time of invitation. The altars will be open for those that need to pray, for those that need to receive Christ today or come for baptism. That'll be your opportunity to make your way down. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us the way that you only can. Thank you for giving us that great sacrifice of Jesus, died on the cross, shed his blood to cover our sin. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Be with us now, Lord, those that need to have a fresh beginning, those that just need to have a new start. Be with them, Lord. Those that are struggling with sin, Father God, I pray that you would set them free. Lord, I pray you'd help them confess it and agree with you and then repent of it and turn and walk away, leaving it here on the altar. Lord, may you do your work as only you can do during this time of invitation. May we be submissive and moldable and available to you, God. May we not turn our back on you. And then, Lord, for those that perhaps need to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, again, may this be their time that they step out and take the promise, take the gift, obey the command to believe. Lord, help them. Be with them. Strengthen them, Lord, as they seek to receive you as their personal Savior and Lord. Be with us now, Lord. May this be a time of worship, a time of reflection, a time of experiencing your love and glorifying your name. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. I invite you all to stand all over the sanctuary as Brother Jeremiah leads us. The altars are open. I'll be down front. You come.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me. Above all, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me. Above all, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me. Above all.
Amen. I invite you to have your seat at this time as we prepare for the ordinance of baptism. I'm just checking on Ronnie Vaculik right quick here. Okay, Ronnie and Alita are on their way home. All right. Alita said results are normal. They're sending Ronnie home. Alita's going to take him up to a neurologist for a follow-up. Ronnie and Alita are on their way home. And let's see here, John and Paul. John and Paul, we're going to Picasso's with Annabelle. All right, you got that, John and Paul? Well, you're not leaving until after the baptism, but anyway, you know where you're going. Amen? All right, they'll meet you there. Wouldn't you like to have all your all your little notes and announcements announced? That's great. Very good. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for that. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Jesus, for the good news that we've heard about Brother Ronnie. that, Lord, this CAT scan was clear. And, Lord, we just pray you be with Alita and Ronnie as they try to discern and figure out with the neurologist what's going on. Lord, we pray you give great wisdom, discernment, and guidance to that physician. And, Lord, we just pray for a testimony, a good report, that everything as it is as it should be. Lord, we pray you just help Brother Ronnie the rest of this day and get him where he needs to be, where he desires to be, Lord. And we just pray your perfect will in his life for him. Pray you protect his home. Pray a hedge of protection around him, Lord. And just, Lord, don't let anything else come against him at this time. Watch over him. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. Now you can give the Lord a hand. Amen. It's great. Ready? All right. Go through that narrow door for narrow-minded preachers. Amen. That's a skinny door. All right. Right here, baby. Come on. You okay? All right. Just walk around there for me. All right. Very good. Just have a seat. Yeah, that's awesome. Great. Very good. You doing good? Take my hand. Remember, I'm going to ask you two questions, right? And then I'm going to get you to hold your nose. And I'm just going to lay you back, put you under the water, all right, by immersion. And Grace is how old again? 11. She's 11. She's tall for an 11-year-old. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you, she's up there. That's right. That's right. Well, Grace, have you prayed to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? She has. She's shaking her head, yes. Is it your desire to follow the Lord and believer's baptism? Amen. Yes, it is. She knows in her heart, she knows in her mind, she knows in her soul and her spirit what salvation is. We had a great talk with her last Sunday night and prayed that prayer just to nail things down and solidify things. We're so thankful for Brother Marco's pulpit ministry. He was preaching the day, the service that she walked the aisle. That's a great blessing. Amen. So we're thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the great opportunity to get to know her and know her better and to tell her about Jesus and to baptize her. All right, sister. Well, hold your nose. Remember? Yeah. And just hold that hand. I'm going to say a few things and then I'm going to lean you back, okay? Grace, it's my great honor and privilege to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Jesus in the likeness of his death, to rise and walk in newness of life. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. All right, stand on up. Face everybody. All right. Wave to them. Say, hi, church. Hi, church. She's a part of y'all now. Amen. All right. Outstanding. Very good. Okay. Everybody good? All right, well, let's all stand to our feet. All right. And Brother James Trevathan, you close us with a word of prayer, brother. We'll be dismissed.
Amen.
Amen. You still have choir tonight? Choir? No choir tonight. Taking a break from choir tonight. See you back at 6 for message, preaching time, and special meeting after the preaching.